Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special Q&A episode celebrating 100 episodes of the Relax with Animal Facts podcast. This is where you can get to know me a little bit as a podcast host now that the show has been around for about 2 years or so. Some time ago, I put up an Instagram story in which all of you could send in your questions so you can better get to know who Steph Wolf is. And just a disclaimer, obviously, this podcast episode is not going to be for the purpose of relaxation necessarily. I will be talking a little bit quicker because I don't actually talk that slow in real life like I do on the podcast. But regardless, I hope that all of you enjoy this special Q&A episode. I am squeezing it into my schedule because I promised I would do it, and so I will do it. The first question comes from Samantha, who writes, "What made you decide to start the podcast?" That is a great question that I wish I had a more sure answer to. I've always loved animals, and I decided to start it in college, I guess from a want to share that love for animals with some of you out there. But as to the specific timing of why did I start it at that time, why did I start recording in my little closet, those things will probably remain a mystery also to me. Kartik Shriv writes, "If you could pick one non-traditional pet to have, what would it be?" Manatee. There is no question in my mind about that. It is the manatee. If you have never seen people swimming with manatees or sea cows, they are just the most loving bunch of sea sausages I have ever seen, and it looks like a fantastic time. And though I would pick a manatee as a pet, I definitely wouldn't take it out of the river or the lake that it's swimming in. It would be pretty miserable in a backyard pool. So I would pick a manatee, I would go to the lake or the river, and then join my wonderful manatee pet for some sea sausage dancing. Lucy writes, "Do you have any kids?" No, I don't, but I very much look forward to the point in my life in which I do. BambiGal2000 writes, "What's your favorite animal?" My favorite animal has changed time and time again, but every time it changes, it usually stays within the primate category. I think for those of you that have listened to all of the episodes, even the very first one 2-something-odd years ago, I've always been a big fan of primates. At this moment in time, I would say my favorite animal is probably the orangutan. If you want to know why, just go onto YouTube or anywhere where you watch videos and type in Smithsonian Orangutan School, and you will know exactly why I find the orangutans to be just absolutely amazing. Watching them try to crack open coconuts and the little squabbles and feuds that they have is just the most precious thing in the world. KRL IRL writes, "What's your favorite thing about primates?" Now, as a broad sweep, I don't know if I could give an answer to that question. It usually changes from primate to primate. My favorite thing about gibbons, for example, is their disproportionately long arms. Watching them run around with their arms gesticulated like pool noodles and swaddling around is pretty cool. But then my favorite thing about, say, a silverback gorilla would be that of just grace and strength. The way in which they have this inquisitive look on their face as they're chewing grass or whatever they're eating is pretty great. Afra C. Glass asks, "Do you listen to music? If so, what kinds?" Ever since I was a kid, I've always listened to hip-hop, a lot of the older hip-hop artists that nobody really listens to anymore. But as of today, it may not be a surprise to many of you, I do really like classical music, but I really listen to absolutely everything. With all cards on the table, I think the only music that I have historically not liked is going to be country music. Now, I'm not entirely sure what is happening, but I have started to like some country music, and I'm really opening up to it. So my relationship with music seems to be an evolving one. but classical has always been a staple for me. If you want to hear beautiful music, my recommendation is turn on some of the etudes by Chopin and just be blown away at what a human mind is capable of composing. Green Bean Groose asks, what is your favorite snack at the moment? I think the snack that tastes the best is probably that Hershey's chocolate bar with the white chocolate and the, I'm not sure what's in it, those like crunchy bits of cookie or something like that. I think it's cookies and cream. But regardless, I think that one tastes the best from an objective basis. But I have something like that maybe once every 3 years. I'm a big chip guy too. And it also might not surprise you that I love plain chips, original chips. And for me, Old Dutch is the way to go. Whale Tings asks, would you ever consider doing an insect episode? And of course I would. They are animals and they are just as complex and beautiful as some of the larger ones that maybe we have an easier time connecting with. But there are some insects out there that will absolutely blow your socks off. I think of ones like the bombardier beetle or certain kinds of ants or even the praying mantis. So the short answer to that question is absolutely. If you guys want to learn more about insects, please request more insects. Ananurav asks an amazing question, which is, if any animal could have you as a pet, which animal would it be? Kudos for the extremely creative question. I have never actually heard something like that. And because it's such a creative question, I don't know if I can meet the bar of a creative answer. I'm not sure any animal would like to have me as a pet. I mean, any sea creature to have me as a pet would have me as a pet for about 45 seconds before I die. So ruling out any sea creatures, though I'd imagine it would again be some kind of primate species. I feel like I'd fit right in with some of those orangutans. Katie asks, if you were an animal besides a human, what kind of animal would you want to be? Probably a dolphin, and in specific, a spinner dolphin. If you don't know what a spinner dolphin is, you can Google them jumping out of the water and spinning like maniacs. Nobody actually knows why they do it besides them just having fun and playing. If it were not a sea creature, it would probably be some form of a primate that's really good in the trees, like a gibbon or like a chimp of some kind. As a kid, I always thought I was pretty agile in the trees, but if I could climb a tree like a gibbon can or like a chimp can, that sounds like a good time. Greg asks, what is your favorite type of milk to drink? My answer to this question would not be grammatically correct, but I would just say no. Milk for me, drinking straight, is not an enjoyable experience, but if I had to choose, it would probably be some kind of soy milk or something. I might be a weirdo here in the West with that opinion, but I much prefer water. And Greg also asks, how do you feel when you discover a new animal? That is a really good question, because so many times I have gotten animal requests from you guys, and I have to Google the animal because I've never heard of it before. And when I see this mystery animal, many a time it is really fascinating even just to look at, let alone to learn about. So I usually feel giddy and excited, but I also feel very grateful for those of you that have opened my eyes to these new critters that I've never heard of. Kyle asks, do you have any pets of your own? And I do. I have a 4-year-old little golden doodle. Well, little may not be the best adjective to use. She's a medium-sized dog, but her name is Molly. She has all the fun of a golden retriever without the shedding, and so I am very grateful for that. Kyle also asks, what is your favorite movie that has an animal in it? As a kid, I was absolutely obsessed with dinosaurs, so Jurassic Park has always been a series that I have loved. To illustrate how much I loved dinosaurs, let me just tell you a story. When I was in junior kindergarten, I brought a little red T-Rex to school. I loved playing with it, and I guess I played with it a little bit too much in class, to the point where my teacher took away my red T-Rex like the monster she was, and to this day, I never received it back. And so somewhere, my little red T-Rex is sitting fossilizing in the drawer of some school. But I'm going to be the bigger man and whoever you were, teacher, that took away my T-Rex, you are forgiven. Ellie asks, what's been your favorite animal that you've done on an episode of the podcast? It might surprise some of you, but my favorite episode is usually the most recent one because I remember the most about it and I really enjoyed researching it and all of that. But if I had to choose just one, it would probably still be the orangutan episode or the gorilla episode, just because I believe that to be the first episode of the show. Ed and Archie asks, has the show given you a new or unexpected adoration of a specific animal you hadn't before? That is a very good question, and the answer is yes, absolutely. And it has not just happened one or two times, it has happened so many times. But the main example that comes to my mind is that of the blue whale. I, of course, knew that the blue whale was huge and an amazing creature. But when researching some of the facts of that particular animal, it just absolutely blows you away. Things like its tongue being the size of a car. Animals like the blue whale, especially after learning about them as we did on that episode, certainly stir in me, and I hope it does in you as well, a sense of just admiration and amazement at the creatures that we have on our planet. Sam Berries asks for the last question, what was your favorite animal before you started the show? Did it change since you started? Now, I'm not sure if I entirely answered this question at the beginning, but I'm going to answer it again anyway. The answer is yes, my favorite animal was always a gorilla, but since then it has changed to be the orangutan. And I think one of the prime movers in my change of allegiance there from the gorilla to the orangutan is just probably some of the videos that I've watched. Again, Smithsonian, I believe it is. There's an orangutan school that you can watch on YouTube. There's Benji and all other kinds of orangutans that crack coconuts, and there's wars over coconuts. There's orangutans that will discipline those who disbehave by swinging a stick around. It is just amazing. So besides the Smithsonian plug, it has changed from the gorilla to the orangutan. Thank you all for taking the time to write in your questions. I apologize for the Q&A episode coming out pretty late. I think it's 4 or 5 weeks late. It's just that recording 2 different episodes and editing 2 different episodes can be very difficult with the schedule that I have going on. But all excuses aside, I hope all of you enjoyed this little special Q&A episode. I hope that you learned more about me as a host. And I know you guys always hear me thanking you and thanking you. But truly, after 100 episodes, all I have is joy. All I have is gratitude for every single one of you listening. If you heard it a million times, I'll tell you again. The Relax with Animal Facts podcast is absolutely nothing without those of you listening and those of you who asked the questions today. I'd be a guy sitting talking to myself about animal facts, which is all right, but it certainly wouldn't be what the show is today. And so as the show continues to grow and our animal podcast family expands and expands, I hope that all of you know how cherished you are as listeners of the podcast. If you have any animal suggestions for future episodes, insects too included, of course, you can always send a message to the Instagram Relax with Animal Facts. You can go to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and click on the Animal Request tab. And you can always go straight to the source with the email relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing more of your animal requests and your funny stories and all of those sorts of things. And I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago. Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.